Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
Once again, welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio. For workers all across America, you can find us online, awfradio.com. And you can listen to this show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, just some examples there. Nationwide audience here, trying to get the good word out on what labor unions do for all Americans. Let me repeat that. For all Americans, we raise all the boats. All right, let's go to line number one. And from Columbus, Mr. Dorsey Hager is joining us on behalf of the Columbus and Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. Twitter handle is BuildCentralOH. Lots to talk about today. We're going to talk about COVID-19. And obviously, its effect on the trades right now. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the show. How are we faring today?
Doing good. Happy Friday to everybody in Cleveland and across the nation. I'm not sure what month it is, but I know what day it is. It is Friday, and we are not far from the weekend, which is good.
There you go. We are in June. It's hard to believe we are in June. Okay, good.
Well,
good.
Like you and I were talking offline, we had some snow a couple weeks ago. We had frost this week, and I can't turn on ESPN and see the NBA playoffs. I can't see the baseball races heating up. I can't see anybody hoisting the Stanley Cup in hockey. So just a little, it's hard to keep track, you know what I mean? It's like my dad used to say after he retired, the only day of the week I can tell it is when the thick paper comes.
Good line. Have you followed any of the baseball talks that's been going on here? Apparently, it's only going to be a half a season. From one of the positions I was reading about, apparently, and this is coming from the union side, they want them to take like an 80% pay cut. And, you got high paid papers, 80%, they could probably handle it. I guess it's not as brutal on the lower paid workers. But, boy, I tell you, I'm hoping they could get together on this. Any thought? I know you're a big baseball fan. I know you're missing the sport. You think we're going to see any baseball here?
I'm a huge baseball fan, and I just had this conversation this morning with a fellow baseball fan of mine. I have been saying this for 3 months, and I consider myself a pretty optimistic person, but I just don't see how we have baseball this summer. The first proposal by the owners was totally outlandish and crazy. And like you said, they wanted the top-tier players to take an 80% pay cut and the lower tier to take a 50%. So to put that in perspective, somebody making the league minimum, $571,000, would earn about $300,000. So not that terrible. That's not too bad. Somebody like a Mike Trout, and I know this is hard for us to comprehend, but somebody like a Mike Trout, who was scheduled to make $36 million this year, and the players' union at the beginning of the season had already agreed to go to prorated salary. So you take 81 games, he was going to go from 36 to $18 million. Then they cut him by 80%. He was going to end up making about $1.8 million for 80 games. So, I know that's a lot of money, and we can't comprehend it, and I get that, and I've had this conversation with several people. But, I mean, if I'm somebody like that, and I'm a young guy, and I have a lot to look forward to in my career, and I understand their contracts are guaranteed, unlike football, I don't know if I risk that for 20% of my salary. I don't know if I risk that. And then, there's talks all over the board. I've heard some of the people in Cleveland. I've heard people across the country. And there's a wide range. Even our own members, how serious COVID-19 or how not serious it is. But no matter what your stance is, if I'm a younger player with a family like a Bryce Harper or somebody, I don't know if I want to be quarantined for 3 months and away from my family or even risk the exposure to my family. So I see that part too. And then I also see the owner's part. Where the owners, don't want to play 112, 115, 120 games like the players do. The owners only want to play 50 because the owners are convinced that they're going to lose money without fans. I get that too, but you know what? Both sides are going to have to give a little bit. Both sides are going to have to come together because it is going to be a horrifically bad look in August when you and I or others are talking about NFL training camps, we're watching NBA basketball from Orlando, and we're watching NHL hockey, and it's summer and it's baseball season, and there's no baseball on TV.
Yeah,
going to be a bad look for baseball. And back in, you know, you and I are old enough to remember the player strike in 94 that canceled the World Series. You know, a lot of people said baseball will never recover, and eventually baseball recovered. But, I mean, if you cancel another season – and if you look, which no one's talking about, they're looking at eliminating 25% of the minor league teams next year, which one of them is the Mahoning Valley Scrappers, which anybody who's ever been to a minor league game at that level, it's an incredible experience. It's a lot of fun. It's good to get out and watch young professionals, and it's incredibly economical. And I think people in those rural areas, that's where kids in those generations get hooked on professional baseball. You put those two things together, and I think some of these naysayers or experts or doomsdayers may be right, and this may be something that baseball never recovers from.
I hear
that's
you.
That's my opinion. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I knew I was going to get something out of you.
You probably got a little more than you wanted, but, you know, like you said, I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm incredibly passionate about it. You know, one of my first childhood memories is my father set me in front of the TV in 1975 watching the Reds and the Red Sox in the World Series, and ever since then I've been hooked. And, you know, my wife is one of those people, she'll walk into the living room and it's 11:15 at night and I can't sleep. And, you know, September and I'm watching the A's, who are 20 games back, play the Rangers, who are 28 games back, and they've got their whole AAA roster playing. And she's like, what are you doing? Really? And that's the type of baseball fan I am. But it's going to be sad.
I hear you. Let's get into COVID-19. What are we hearing? I know more trades are back at work. Governor DeWine is... we're pretty close to 100%. We're not at 100%, but what are you hearing out in the field, Dorsey?
So for my managers and agents, reps and organizers, and a lot of our guys are going out and they're, you know, they're doing their jobs. They're hitting the jobs. They're talking to their guys. They're working with their guys. They're making sure that the prime contractors, the subcontractors, the general contractors, the end users, you know, they're trying to do their best to make sure that there's sanitary conditions so that the guys can continue to work safe. But, you know, we have had a couple of positive tests on some job sites. A few job sites have been suspended a day or two for cleanup and stuff. But, you know, on the whole, I would say 97-98% of the GCs, developers, and end users in Columbus and Central Ohio are doing a pretty good job. You have a few bad apples that are, you know, spoiling the bunch, obviously, but you'll always have that. You know, we're incredibly blessed and fortunate. I mean, there's a lot of my friends in the service industry. There's a lot of my friends in hospitality industry, travel industry, you know, you name it, that are either laid off, furloughed, or out of work. And, you know, our members have had pretty much the option to either take a furlough and be at home with their families, or if they have maybe some health issues, or take care of a loved one with a health issue, or to continue to keep working and not miss a beat. So we feel very blessed for that. And I would say what you're saying is right. I would say in Columbus, Central Ohio, we're probably 90, maybe 92%. Our membership is working. We have quite a few locals that are bringing travelers in from all over the country. Some of our larger scale projects haven't missed a beat. Some of our high visibility projects, like the Columbus Crew Stadium, are still going. I just got an update today about the Columbus Crew Stadium. They topped out a couple weeks ago, which was incredible. So that thing's moving forward. The Hilton, downtown Hilton, just put in their steel, started to do their steel and rebar. So that's starting to come out of the ground. And everything I hear from Ohio State is OSU Medical Center, there's not going to be a delay, and that's going to go full speed ahead, which that's about a $2 billion hospital and research facility along with a parking garage. So Columbus and Central Ohio, I mean, things can change on a dime. We've seen that, especially with everything that's going on. But right now, everything's full speed ahead, and we feel fortunate and blessed that our members still have the opportunity to work, make a good living, and take care of their families and provide for their families.
Now, that being said, there is a downside, and I was reading about some legislation. This is contained in House Bill 670, which proposes spending close to $700 million on previously approved state capital projects compared to nearly $1.2 billion in the version before the Ohio Senate. So the bottom line is, they're talking about scaling down some public projects, and the main reason is COVID-19. What's going on here, Dorsey? I know you're close to the situation.
Yeah, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and again, you know, anybody that can predict any of this stuff is much smarter than me, but about 3 or 4 weeks ago, you know, we had a video call with my managers and agents, and I told them that obviously with the budget shortfall and the taxes and the COVID-19 and the unemployment right now, I mean, I think nationwide, I think it just hit 42 million people are out of work. I said, obviously, there's going to be some budget cuts here in the state of Ohio, and the governor announced some budget cuts as opposed to dipping into the rainy day fund. Kristen Boggs, one of our, you know, all-star state legislators here, reached out to me and talked about some local projects that have capital funding on them. Tracy Richardson, who is my state rep, she's on the House Finance Committee. She reached out to me the other day to discuss a few projects, and I don't have a detail of the ones where funding is going to be cut. I hope to get that pretty soon so I can report back to our guys, but I will give you one example, and this is just my opinion, personal. It's not the opinion of Columbus Building Trades, but we talked about Crew Stadium. Now, Crew Stadium, the infrastructure, the development, the whole area around it, you're probably looking at about $300 maybe $350 million. The state agreed to kick in $10 million for that project. So, you know, obviously I don't want to see the state I don't want to use the word renege, but I don't want to see the state pass and not provide that $10 million that they promised that the Crew and the Haslams and the City of Columbus and Franklin County, you know, budgeted. But if the state were to cut that $10 million by 30% or 50% and there was only $5 million, I think that project will go forward. So that's what we got to do. We got to look at some of these. We got to look at the amount of funding. We got to look to where we can pick up the slack. And we got to look at what could jeopardize a project or totally shutter a project or maybe what could maybe just delay a project. But with that being said, my opinion is this, and I've had these conversations with local electeds at the city and county level and a few also at the state level. You know, when times are bad, now is not the time to cut infrastructure spending, highway spending.
Right.
And I
get
it. I totally get it. I understand. But that's money that are job creators that are going to either put people to work or keep people working. And that in flow, you're going to get a huge return on your investment through the tax base, but you're also going to get a huge return on your investment because people are working and they're able to put money into the economy. So
yeah.
I just, you know, I hope that they look at it from a really, really, really good perspective, and I hope they do what's necessary and needed, but they don't overdo it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Same with workforce development. I know we're talking about COVID-19, and, you know, we talk about this every summer, and I really look forward to it, but, you know, we do an incredible outreach event with all the trades at the Ohio State Fair, and, I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm saddened because I am, but, you know, we knew it was coming. The governor canceled the Ohio State Fair a couple weeks ago, and that's one of our huge outreach events. Several of our outreach events with the city and the county have been postponed and delayed because obviously we can't, you know, we can't pack a church, we can't pack a school and have 150, 200 kids and their parents come in and have hands-on and discussions and learn about the building trades and stuff when, you know, we just can't do it right now with COVID-19, not till something changes. So that's the unfortunate thing in some of these cancellations.
Yeah, everything's on hold pretty much. All right, we have to take a break. Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Again, the website, columbusconstruction.org. When we come back, we're going to talk about House Bill 663. Here we go again, repealing prevailing wage. We'll talk about that. Yeah, it never stops. It never stops.
Before. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not a good one. No, it isn't.
No.
All right. We'll talk about that. Also, later in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by Dr. Camillo Ricordi, and he is going to talk about all the diabetes research that is happening in America, and it's being funded by the building trades. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens. Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Once again, welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers across America. When I say across America, I mean it. We are podcast nationally. Wherever you stream podcasts, check out iTunes, Google Play, some examples, or Spotify, iHeartRadio as well. And we ask you to subscribe to our podcast. Give us a rating. 5 stars would be nice. We appreciate that. All right. Let's go back to our live line. Rejoin Dorsey Hager. We always join Dorsey on the first Friday of each and every month. Talk about the Columbus Central Ohio building trades. What's happening? What's being built? What's not being built? And then we have the people that want to do away with prevailing wage. Here we go again. Dorsey, what's the latest on this now? Tell me about it.
So it seems like it's every year. You get some people in the state house, and it's the usual suspects. It's the Ron Hoods and the Tom Brinkmans and those folks, and they introduce legislation to repeal prevailing wage. And, you know, I don't want to say that it's expected, but it is. I mean, it's every year, you know what I mean, that this comes out. You know, you have Rydell, Lang, McLean, Zeltwanger, you know, you have those people. And I think there's two types of people. You have the people that do it, and they know there's no way it's going to get out of committee and it's going to pass, but they do it because they can use it as a fundraising mechanism. They can go back to their conservative base and their conservative district, and they say, hey, I took a whack at it again, but gosh dang, you know, there's nothing I can do about it, and they're able to raise money off of it. And then you have somebody like Ron Hood that, you know, his career has been, you know, the ABC. Those are the people he represents, you know, and I think he really does believe in repealing prevailing wage. So he's going to introduce that bill. Now, a couple of bright spots out of this is, you know, I think when this was introduced last year, there was 27 co-sponsors. I believe there's only 9 now. I don't see this getting out of committee. I don't see it getting legs or any traction. You know, Ron Hood's father-in-law, who is still in the state house, Bill Dean, who's a open shop contractor in southwestern Ohio, you know, he has signed on to this every year, and he didn't even sign on to his son-in-law's bill this time. So I think that there's people in the legislature that are either, one, you know, sick of having the same conversation that goes nowhere, so they're not going to waste their time, or two, they just, you know, they don't want to deal with this anymore, and they want to do something that's more productive. So he didn't even sign on to it, which is good. And then the other thing, you know, and I've had some conversations with the speaker. I mean, you know, Speaker Householder has done an incredible job, and we can talk more about this next month after we get our endorsements done, but he's done an incredible job of recruiting great pro-labor Republicans that are against right to work and are for prevailing wage, for workforce development and apprenticeship. And I mean, you know, the Mark Frasers, the Brian Stewarts, Mark Johnson, who's head of the Tri-State Building Trades down in Ross County in South Central Ohio, who's going to be a part of the Republican caucus in the legislature when he gets elected in November. I mean, I think the speaker's done a tremendous job, and his leadership shows, you know, and it's like the majority whip Jay Edwards said to me, you know, look at all the people that signed on to this a year ago. Look at how few people have signed on to it now, you know, and they can't stop members in the Republican caucus or members of the legislature from introducing bills. Obviously, everybody has the freedom to do that. And then under the Constitution, each bill that's introduced gets its sponsor testimony or its hearing. But I think this thing's going to die a slow death after that. And, you know, we have the speaker, we have Jay Edwards, we have a lot of people that see things the way that we see them, and we talked about it in the first segment. You know, now's not the time to be eliminating jobs and cutting people's wages, not when so many families are struggling to get by with everything that's going on.
No, not at all. And with Larry Householder having, what, at least three children that are involved in the trades, maybe it's two, and I know his wife, I believe, is a teacher.
And it's like he says, it's a great story. When he grew up, you know, his friends were all, you know, building trades guys. So he sees it, he gets it, and he, you know, he understands, you know, that those people, you know, and our members have been able to go to high school, go get into an apprenticeship, and learn a trade and be able to provide for their families. And where would a lot of these people in Ohio be if they didn't have this training and this ability to be able to do that? I mean, you know, we would be Mississippi or Alabama, you know, and it wouldn't be good, and it wouldn't be good for the state. But yeah, he has a son that's an operating engineer, and he has a son that's an IBEW member, and his wife's a teacher, so he's with us, and it's great to have him in leadership and have him as the speaker. I think he provides a really good perspective on the trades and those things. And like I said, a lot of the members The Jeff Larays and those that have been recruited on his team that are, you know, are going to win. They won their primaries, and they're probably going to win their elections in the fall because of the way the districts are. You know, they're with us, and that's good. And they're asking the right questions about apprenticeship, and workforce development, and training, and safety. And they want to come, and they want to see our training centers, and they want to see how we do things, you know, without coming to the government or the taxpayers to fund it. We're all self-funded. They love that part. It's a great business model.
That's right. As you said many times on this show, it's a pathway to the middle class, and that's what we want in America. No doubt about it. All right.
Absolutely.
Dorsey, there's a couple minutes left of the show here. We have a really, really good doctor coming up next, Dr. Camillo Ricordi. He's down in Miami, does a lot of research into diabetes. In fact, he's doing some revolutionary work right now with stem cell transplants to help patients suffering from the coronavirus. It's amazing, really amazing. But I know, and we've had many conversations over the years about the Dad's Day and right around Father's Day that the building trades are involved in. Now, you're telling me this is going to be because of the virus, this is going to be pushed off. Maybe you can refresh our listeners on what's at play here.
Yeah, so historically, it's been the first Saturday of June. Because of the virus and everything, we just thought it would be better for everybody's comfortability and everything if we pushed it into September. So it's going to be September 12th, the second Saturday in September. Now, you and I talked a little bit about this offline. You know, obviously, that runs into Ohio State football, which I'm very cognizant of, you know. That day, we're scheduled to play at Oregon, so it'll be a West Coast kick, and it'll probably be a nighttime game, hopefully, if we have the season this year. So I think that we'll be good to go, but our guys are extremely excited that it was postponed and not canceled. They look forward to it, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, our guys love the idea of getting together, having a good time, you know, doing a clay shoot, spending some time together. We have a lot of electeds. We have a lot of our friends in the political community that come out. Governor DeWine has came out in the past. You know, Carl Aveni, who's a great friend of organized labor, who's on the ballot this year again to run for judge, has been out in the past. We've got great support, and it's just a good time had by all of us. So it's a lot of fun. Unfortunately, if you shoot with me and you're on my team, your chances of winning are very, 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 very low. But we really enjoy it. And in the benefit, the plus side, after a day of camaraderie, is we make a donation to Dad's Day for research on, you know, the level that we do. And, you know, anywhere from our donations have ran from anywhere from $4,000 to $10,000. And that's a plus. That's a bonus. And it makes us feel good like we're trying to do our part for diabetes research. And, you know, I know I've talked to you about this in the past. It's obviously hit my family directly. My grandmother had diabetes. My father had diabetes. My son is a diabetic. So, you know, it's really close to us, and it means a lot to us to do our part. And when I saw about the doctor that you're having on later and his research with COVID-19 and stem cell from the umbilical cords and stuff, which, you know, after those are discarded anyway, what a great idea, and what a wonderful day to wonderful way to try to attack this virus and to come up with some kind of treatment. So really interested in hearing his interview with you, and I've read some information on him, so that's cool to have him on.
Yeah, it's amazing what he's been able to do. And again, it's not just what comes out of Ohio, but it's nationally. The building trades on a national level have pumped a whole lot of money into his operation down there. And when you pump money into when you pump money into research, you get good results. You get really good results. And he's been able to turn back diabetes because of this stem cell. And the same thing with COVID-19. So I'll tell you, it's great. And it's just another thing. You know, Dorsey, you know this. And I always say it's the union difference. And there's a lot of people that come down on unions. You've heard those stories. They don't realize the impact that labor has had on so many. It's not just wages and better benefits. Of course, we want that. But it's for the betterment and for better health of Americans, for all Americans. And I think that point needs to be stressed. And I'm sure you do it on your level down there in Central Ohio. We just got to continue that kind of mission. Okay?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. Absolutely.
All right, Dorsey, I'm going to leave it on that note. I was just getting off my soapbox there a little bit because
I didn't want to step in front of your thunder. You were doing what? couldn't add anything to it. You know what I mean?
There you go, buddy. We're going to leave it on that. Oh, you keep up the fight, my brother. ColumbusConstruction.org. Twitter handle is BuildCentralOH. You take care. Be safe. We'll talk to you in a month, all right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for all the work you're doing, Flash. Really appreciate being a part of the show. And have a great weekend and enjoy the summer here in the next month till we talk again.
All right. Dorsey Hager on our live line again. ColumbusConstruction.org.